The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
It's Big JD and Lippo in the morning. I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
She already said it was the morning show. That's why I said with Big JD and Lippo.
Oh, I see. And
here's Big JD and Lippo. That's why I said in the morning.
Oh, I see. Here.
It's early.
That's kind
of. Why do we force ourselves to get up so early?
Well, it's for the people. It's for the listeners.
That's right.
Have you noticed that? Do you check out the Big JD and Lippo in the morning Facebook page?
Facebook page?
Yes, we have a Facebook page.
Yeah, I do occasionally.
Okay.
Why? Something going on?
Yeah, we like got thousands and thousands of likes. Did you do something? Did you boost it up or?
No, I didn't do anything. Okay. I promote.
All right. No, it just seems like every day it seems like we're getting
more and more people.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing. I love it.
Wonder where my show notes went.
maybe with the rest of your notes. Do you have notes?
It's supposed to sync. And what's funny is that I have my folder synced, but my URLs didn't sync.
Oh, I see.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Unless I'm on two different networks here. Nope, same network. Can you force sync? Not to be used with force it. Oh, why do you got to do that?
Because it's the same letters. Beep, sync beep, and skin beep, have the same beep letters. Quiet now.
Quit stop laughing on the show.
So what's going on, Big JD? There's a, if you're listening to this on the weekend, you push pause and head on over to the wedding show at the Kubota Club, right?
That's right. The wedding extravaganza at the Kubota Club. I do weddingvideography.ca.
All right.
We'll be there all weekend.
And
which is Saturday, Sunday.
Right. If someone wants to video record their wedding, do you have like different packages? You just show up at the ceremony, you just show up at the reception?
I'll do anything anybody wants.
You'll do anything anybody wants. Is it good to have it like choreographed? Like if people are going into the video... But like if they're going to hire you, you let them, or they let you know this is going to happen. We want this recorded. And when we do this, we want you to do, is it more, or is it just capture the moment?
Well, for the most part, it's the moment because generally most weddings are the same, right? Like the same things are going to go on.
Generally,
right? So
yeah,
we know what to shoot, but there are often requests of my grandmother's sick. We don't know how long she's going to be with us. Can you film extra with her? We're going to do a special dance, or we're going to do something special at the ceremony, or we're going to do this, do that. Then I'll film these other things at their request.
Oh, I see.
But generally, everything else is pretty much the same. But we also go to the their rehearsal, so you know we can get an idea of what's going to happen there, and also see where we're shooting if we haven't been there before or anything like that. So
yeah, you got a case to join out, right?
Right. And often get invited to the rehearsal dinner. I always respectfully decline, though. I think that's time for the bride and groom and their families and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes they may be, or if they know somebody, like if it was somebody I knew maybe, or you know what I mean?
Right.
They know the photographer, they might go or something like that. But I don't generally go like to the dinners with them. But
right, because they're going to be serving stuff though that you won't eat and you don't feel like being embarrassed.
But I will eat the night of the wedding.
You'll eat the night of the wedding.
That's right, at the wedding.
Big JD eats the night.
That's always nice. At least I know I'll be having nice dinners on the weekends.
Right, because there's really not much for you to do when people are chowing down, right? I mean, why would...
Well, it depends. Oftentimes, the speeches are during dinner. So either I'm set up for it or, you know what I mean, I have to keep an eye on it because of batteries and sound and whatever. Or... It's the time where people are going up and doing their you know, standing at tables, say, singing a song to for the bride and groom to kiss, right, or yeah. the glasses start going, and you want to get a few of those on tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I often stage those as well. Like, I mean, I'll have people at my table start banging so that I'm ready to at least get one or two of those things.
Right, yeah.
Because they're hard to get. I mean, unless you're like, the camera's on, you're ready to go, which yeah. is not usually the case during the dinner part. But
obviously not.
It's fun.
Weddings are fun events, for sure.
Yep. Does everybody stay together later? That's another question.
That doesn't even matter. I just want to have a wedding just to have a wedding.
Oh, yeah, I know. Wow. But I know some couples that I've shot for are not together anymore.
That's it's too bad. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're happier.
It's a good thing I don't have a payment plan.
An insurance policy, you know, as it were.
Hope for the best for everybody, but
yeah,
it's a good time. So yeah, the Wedding Extravaganza Quota Club, it's was on yesterday and today, and it's a lot of fun too. I did one before, the Wedding Odyssey at Chichero.
Very cool.
And this is the big one.
Your website again is?
IDoWeddingVideography.ca.
Speaking of insurance policies, your friends and mine, Canadian rockers, Nickelback.
Okay, yeah, that, enough said.
I know.
Moving on.
Yeah, they're horrible.
What about them? I saw you had some news up
there. Yeah, I don't like them at all. But I found there was an interesting news story that I guess they had to shut down their 2015 tour this past year that just went by because he had a cyst on his vocal cord.
Oh, really?
Chad.
You know what that's from?
Smoking, probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Smoking pipe. You know, that's a big business. So what they got to do, of course, is have insurance policies just in case those eventualities happen. And they got the most expensive, like the number one insurance company in the world is Lloyd's of London. Mm-hmm.
I thought they were a clothier.
This is Lloyd's of London. Would you like a suit, beautiful, sir? Beautiful
Lloyd's of London jacket you have on.
I know. It does sound like it could be.
I think there is a clothier or something of London.
Yeah,
probably. Fog of London, perhaps?
London fog, yes. It's same with Scotland Yard, which is the police force. That could easily be
a line shipping of yard or something even.
No, the clothing line.
Yeah, a clothing line, sure.
Scotland Yard. Yeah. Fine clothing from Scottish sheeps. Have a wool suit, would you? But they're refusing to pay because they say he had a pre-existing condition.
Oh, okay, yeah. That stuff happens.
Yeah, but the guy's wailing out for 40 shows before he quit, so it just seems...
For 40 shows before he quit what?
This tour. They did 40 shows, and they realized, yeah. Okay, what's wrong with me? And then he found he's got
getting all excited. I thought you meant Nickelback call it quits.
Well, we can't get that lucky, but...
What is it, Nickelback or Nickelback?
You know, they got so many fans, it's hard
to put them... If they at least called themselves Nickelback, they might have been a little cooler.
Nickelback.
Yeah, they do have a lot of fans. It's
well, that's like hit, aren't they? Dimebag Darrell, right?
Yeah.
His name originally was Diamond Darrell. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And the reason he got called Diamond Darrell because at the beginning their manager says you can't have a name like Diamond.
You can't be named the same thing as David Lee Roth. Diamond Dave.
Yeah, Diamond Dave. No,
what do you think he's doing?
It's because the way that he made money was he was a marijuana proprietor. He sold marijuana, so his nickname always was Dimebag Darrell.
Right.
So why change it for the band? Actually, it's cool, and obviously it was cool enough that he retained it after they got some success under their belt. You got any news?
One thing is that Black Sabbath have revealed the drummer for their farewell tour, which is Tommy Clufetos. I don't know how to say that, actually. And that Bill Ward continues to sit out a reunion with his bandmates over contractual disputes.
I didn't think it was that.
And a nasty exchange with Ozzy over remarks he's made in recent years.
Like, you could pass away, like, any day. Like, why?
Well, yeah, that's what's going on. Like, you know, that's too bad.
Yeah, I honestly thought that he just didn't want to drum anymore. I just thought he didn't have it in him anymore. He was just too old, can't hit the skins. Like Neil Peart, you know, he's saying, I got to get off this touring thing because my body just can't handle it.
Yeah. And something for the Canadians, Kim Mitchell recovering from a heart attack.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Canadian guitarist Kim Mitchell recovering following a heart attack in Toronto, which was last Tuesday now, and Mitchell formed the pioneering rock outfit Max Webster in Toronto in 1973.
Yeah, they were awesome. And he, of course, he had a much more successful solo career than he did with Max Webster. And we're back. Today's show is supposed to be the surfer music show. If you'd listened to last week's
postponed.
Show, it's postponed because, unfortunately, David Bowie died. And, you know, I suggested to Big JD, you know, maybe we should do a show on David Bowie. Because I know my buddy Michael Butler, who's the rock and roll geek, rockandrollgeek.com. When somebody dies, he does what he calls an emergency show. Like, he'll do something the day that he finds out, pretty much. He'll put something together. That's just the kind of guy he is. So I suggested to Big JD that we do a David Bowie show because we do shows on specific artists. And, you know, if we did the show long enough, maybe we'd come around and actually end up doing a David Bowie show while he was still alive. So we're gonna do one now. And maybe this is a good policy just to keep going for the show.
Yeah, we should, absolutely. That's why when you brought it up, I'm like, well, we should have done a Lemmy show.
Right.
But
so if Chad Kroeger passes away, we're probably not going to do a
Nickelback month. Nickelback month, part 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So how did you find out about David Bowie passing away?
That's a good question. I think somewhere online.
Okay.
So I don't know where.
It just crossed your radar while you were looking at your computer.
I never remember those things of, oh, what was I doing when, you know what I mean?
Right.
When Kennedy died.
Was I even born then? I don't know.
When was that? 63 or 4?
I'm going to say 63. November 8th or 9th.
Whoa. What were you doing? You were around.
For one half. I'm not
one
even
old. One day.
I wasn't very old. Anyway.
David Robert Jones.
That was his name, Davy Jones.
Born in January 1947.
Yep.
A little older than us. Not by much. And, of course, passed away January 10th. And David Robert Jones, known as David Bowie, everybody knows, English singer, songwriter, record producer, painter, does everyone know, and actor.
Yeah, he did all the arts. He was definitely an artsy kind of guy. Myself, my drummer texted me in the morning to tell me. Just as I was walking out the door, I'm like, I couldn't even process. I just tried to put it in the back of my head because it was just like...
Well, I think Lana said she told me. She might have texted me.
Okay.
Because I'm sleeping, she's working. She might have texted me and told me that. I can't remember now. But yeah, unfortunate. And cancer.
Yeah, cancer kept it a big secret for, you know, only...
Was his, it 18 months or something like that?
Yeah, he found it 18 months and he treated it pretty well. It went into remission for a little while. But then once it came back, which it often does, not that it comes back often, but once it does come back often, it's usually very aggressive and takes over quite quickly. And usually people have, you know, they end up having what they think are months to live.
But that wasn't the case. And David Bowie, great music. And here's a great song, Suffragette City. Total blam blam. She said,
Probably one of Bowie's more popular songs, that's for sure. He had a ton of hits. Ton of hits. Supposedly he was worth 135 billion, no, million pounds.
When he was that big when he died?
135 million pounds, yes. No, he wasn't big.
You know who covered Suffragette City?
King Friday?
On one of his solo albums. Steve Jones.
Oh,
Sex Pistols. Yeah.
I can see that.
Fire and Gasoline album, I believe.
He had an album called Fire and Gasoline?
Yeah, he's got a couple of his own albums.
Because Bowie has a lyric called Putting Out Fire with Gasoline.
Huh? Maybe that's related somehow, too. And
I'm not sure if I have that one going, but what we do have going is Fascination. This is from David Bowie's Young American album.
I'm a little crazy. where's the 60s fun? I think I like fascination. Still to come.
Fascination.
Fascination.
Ooh. It's a part of me.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Can my heart beat?
Can my heart beat?
Living the fever.
Living the fever.
Raging inside of me.
Raging inside of me.
Fascination.
Fascination.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could pretend nothing.
you when I look at my China girl.
And another song by David Bowie, China Girl. And Iggy Pop covers that. I love Iggy's version. We'll be back after this.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Back to the China Girl song. Of course, that album, there was a couple other songs on that album, which was Serious Moonlight. You know who played on it in guitar was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he got involved was he wasn't necessarily all that popular at the time, but David Bowie saw him at a folk and jazz festival, and he was improperly billed the night that he played there when David saw him. And so there was people not expecting a Stevie Ray Vaughan show. But David saw him and he really enjoyed him and he asked him to be on his next album. Turns out he also offered him to be on tour with him. Like, you record this album with me and tour with me, and you know, it'll be a boon for your career as well. This song that we're listening to is Ashes to Ashes from David Bowie's Low album, I believe.
And it's true. They got a message from the action man. I'm happy, hope you're happy too. I've loved all of needing love, saw the details fall away. The shrieking when nothing was killing, just pictures of Jeff girls and synthesis. And I ain't got no money and I ain't got no hands. But I'm hoping to kick because glad it is glowing. Ashes to ash and fuck to fuck it. We know Major Tom's a junkie, strung out in heaven's high, hitting a home.
interest on. Tongues are junking, stuck out in heaven's high, hitting an all-time low. My mama said, to get things done, you better not mess with Major Tom. My mama said, to get things done, you better not.
We're playing a bunch of David Bowie tunes today, so we're kind of kind of got rushed out of that little thing about Stevie Ray Vaughan. But it turns out Stevie Ray Vaughan, who played on the Serious Moonlight album, he at the very last minute backed out of touring with David Bowie.
Oh wow!
They got Earl Slick to.
Oh yeah. That's pretty slick.
That's pretty slick, and he ended up learning their set, 30-song set, in 72 hours. From the time he got told to the time he actually was on stage, it was 72 hours. Do you want to tour with David Bowie? And speaking of touring with David Bowie, there's a local story that goes along with that. David had, I forget which album that was for. It was in the, it was 1980. And David Bowie was looking for a guitarist to go on tour with him. I forget what album it was in support of, though. It might have been Low, for all I know, or Lodger. Anyway, he got Stacy Hayden, who was a local musician here. I'm not exactly sure how he found Stacy Hayden, but he...
Brother of Stu,
local. Well, obviously, they're brothers and they're local, but Stu's a blues kind of guy. He got a call saying, get on a plane. You're going to Jamaica tomorrow if you want to be touring with David Bowie. He thought it was a joke or something.
Yeah,
sure enough, he said he was... It was anything. You know how many Bowie tunes he knew? None. Didn't know one David Bowie song. So he went down and did an audition, and he still got hired. He just said it was a totally surrealistic sort of thing. Like, I don't know any of this guy's songs. I do an audition, play my own stuff, and I still end up getting hired. And he says it was one of the highlights of his life. That's for sure.
Going back even further, in 1962, Bowie formed his first band at the age of 15, the Conrads, playing local gatherings, weddings, and whatnot. That's a pretty young time to start.
I've also read stories. He was exceptional at, you know, everything that he took part in, whether it was dancing or doing, you know, art of some kind and music as well.
Sure. Obviously a hugely creative guy. And this is Gene Genie on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.
Small Gene Genie snuck off from the city, strung out on lasers and slashed back blazers, and ate all your razors while pulling the waders, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie. Ooh. Get back on. Gene Genie lives on his back. Gene Genie loves chimney stacks. He's outrageous and screams and he bawls. Gene Genie, let yourself go.
tired. She loved him, she loved him, but just for a short while. She scratched in the sand, let go his hand. He says he's a beautician, sells you nutrition, keeps all your dead hair for making up underwear. Poor little greenie. On his back, the Jean Genie loves chimney stacks. His outrageous, he screams and he moans. The Jean Genie lets himself go.
There you go. It's Mick Ronson, who was, you know, he got his chops. Mick Ronson being David Bowie's guitarist for a long time. And actually, I think he came back and did some albums with him in the 90s as well. But it's very bluesy, right?
Mm-hmm. I like Mick Ronson. Mick Ronson did a guitar solo on a really cool song by a band called The Toll from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I always liked that band. But anyway.
Mick Ronson was a blues guy, and obviously that's a direct result of that. And now we're going to be listening to another Bowie tune. This is Black Country Rock, and I'm going to ask Big JD what this song reminds him of.
Pack a pack or something, rest up here on Black Country Rock. You never know, you might find it here on Black Country Rock. Pack a pack or something, let's stop here on Black Country Rock. You never know, you might find it here on Black Country Rock.
Some say the view is crazy, but you may adopt another point of view. Up and rest up here on Black Country Rock. You never know, you might find it here on Black Country Rock.
yourself and rest up here on Black Country Road. Never know, you might find it here on Black Country Road.
Some say the view is crazy, but you made a doctor mother point of view. So if it's nice to crazy,
so that's Black Country Rock from David Bowie. Of course, this is the David Bowie special. Did you have any inclination who David Bowie was trying to imitate there?
Yeah, I do. At first, to me, it sounded a little bit like Canned Heat. But then later on, yeah, I realized that it was very reminiscent of T-Rex, Mark Bolan.
Mark Bolan, that's who the guy was. I was trying to think of his name. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had that crazy vibrato. So it... Bowie did a lot of covers. He obviously did Across the Universe and...
Across the Universe.
Oh, what's the other one? It's on his live album, which I also wanted to talk about the live Philadelphia album. He had a period in... that's what he did. He had periods in his career. He just got into something. And then it seems like when he felt that it just ran its course.
Yeah, some of the stuff he did was outstanding during these periods, right? The dress that he wore and the, you know what I mean, all that stuff.
Exactly. And it seems like he would let that run its course, and then he would, it seemed like he would think, I'm going to just freak everybody out and do this whole new thing. I'm bored with that, or, you know, I'm just kind of curious what his whole thought process was going from one thing to the next, you know what I mean? It was like, and it was all totally out there, usually.
Does he have kids? He married and whatnot? Because he swings both ways, didn't he?
I think a lot of people swang both ways
like
back
the word
in the swang. in the experimental days. You know, there's the story that David Bowie and Mick Jagger were together for some period of time. You know, and then there's the song "John, I'm Only Dancing." It's a story about him dancing with a girl, but don't think I'm straight because you know I'm just dancing with this girl. I'm going to come back to you, kind of thing.
What about Angie? Wasn't Angie written about David Bowie or David Bowie's wife or something, right?
David Bowie's wife, okay, yes. Yeah, he was married
to her. Was her name Angie?
Her name was Angie Bowie, and he was married to her from 1970 to 1980.
10 years, wow. Kids with her?
I don't know that they had any kids, but I know he was married to the day he died to Iman, I-M-A-N.
Oh.
She was a model, beautiful woman, and I know they have at least one daughter.
And he seemed to be pretty private.
Yeah, his private life was his private life, and that's usually the difference between true success and you know, people who kind of fall off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's people like Ozzy who are out there who, you know, he had a TV show with his, you know, cameras in his house, and it's the total opposite. But some people, you know, they can keep their private life private and keep their successful life, you know, successful. And but he lived in New York. He had an apartment in New York, and, you know, people would say that they would see him occasionally, you know, at a market or something, you know what I mean? It wasn't unusual to see David Bowie on the streets of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's as private as you can get, I guess. You know, he never did anything where he made headlines with, you know, stuff that he did in his later life. Once he got married to Iman, I'm sure that was part of her deal, you know. She didn't want the crazy rock star life.
And when we come back, we're going to commit rock and roll suicide.
Back, and this is speaking of that Philadelphia Live at the Tower. This is Rock and Roll Suicide. There, he does a little intro. This is the last show he did for Ziggy Stardust. This is that song, Rock and Roll Suicide.
Time takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth, you pull on your finger. Then another finger, then your cigarette. Wall to wall it's calling, it lingers. Still you forget, now. You're rock and roll suicide. You're too old. And the clock waits so patiently on your song. You walk past a cafe, but you can't eat when you live too long. No, no, you're rock and roll suicide. Across the road, but the day breaks instead. So you're at home. Don't let the sun catch a shadow. Don't let the milk float blind your mind. They're so natural, religiously unkind.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We are back. I got an opportunity to go to Toronto, I forget when it was, maybe the year before last, 2013, and saw the exhibition. It was called David Bowie Is.
Oh, yeah?
And it was at the Ontario Gallery of Art. Is that what it's called? Ontario Art Gallery, I forget. That's what it is, OAG. And it was like a multimedia experience. You go in there and you see all the stuff that he wore when he was a kid, and the stuff that he created, whether it was art or and he was into fashion a lot. Like, he would go and look for influences of different cultures and then incorporate it into stuff that he would end up wearing on stage. And they had all that stuff there as well, piping in all kinds of Bowie tunes as well. So I'm really glad I got the opportunity to actually see that, because he was he helped curate that show, which I believe opened in London and then went around a few select cities in North America. That's one good memory that I have of the time that Bowie was alive. And you wanted to give us some more information on David Bowie's marital life?
Yeah, just not necessarily more information, but just to kind of reiterate, he was married to Mary Angela Barnett on the 19th of March, 1970, and they had a son together, Duncan, who was born in 71, and who was first known as Zoe Bowie.
Zoe Bowie.
And first known as, so maybe they changed his name or something, or Zoe did. Bowie. And then he married a Somali-American model, Iman, as you had mentioned, and they had one daughter, Alexandria.
She's
Lexi.
Hot.
Zara Jones, born in 2000. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And the couple resided primarily in New York City and London, as well as owning an apartment in Sydney.
Of course. Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, that's probably why you get 135 million pounds, because you don't buy any property. You're just living in apartments. That's the urban life for them, I'm sure.
He says about his sexuality in 1983 interview with Rolling Stone, Bowie said his public declaration of bisexuality was the biggest mistake I ever made, and I was always a closet heterosexual.
Ah.
On other occasions, he said his interest in homosexual and bisexual culture had been more a product of the times and right. the situation in which he found himself with his own feelings as...
Right. He was just doing it because, check it out, experimentation, same with drugs, right?
You
just do it to check it out.
There's a lot of that going on in those days, right?
I'm sure Jagger hasn't, touched another man's private parts in decades. In
hours.
No, I'm pretty sure he's pretty straight.
Okay, so next week we're going to do the surf show, right?
Surf music, surfing in Canada, right here on the coast of Canada.
We are on the coast.
Yeah,
we can go surfing right now if we want to.
Let's.
We have to lay on our boards and just paddle, though.
That's fine.
We have no waves.
No waves.
No tubes.
Here's one.
No. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for listening. But what tune are we going out with first?
We're going out with Space Oddity.
Space Oddity, another cover that Tres Cojones covers.
That's
well.
Right.
Yeah.
You got any dates coming up anybody should know about?
No, we'll get to those some other time. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. This is Space Oddity from David Bowie. Thanks a lot for listening again.
Bye.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition, 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.